Good morning. Today is Thursday, 30th of July. Joining us this morning is California Highway Patrol Public Information Officer, all-around nice guy, dressed in black on black, Paul Kraft.
Thank you. Good morning.
Are you undercover today?
Yeah. I was just on my way to the office, thought I'd stop by and chat for a little bit.
Really?
Yes. In so person this time. It's been a few months.
Yeah. You missed the whole brace thing.
I did. Yeah. But I see you moving around a little better than last time I saw you.
Moving around, and your paw is moving okay, too?
Yes. Healthy. Yeah. All my limbs are attached.
Yeah, we just got to work on the cosmetics for both of us.
That's why masks have been beneficial for me. It covers all this up.
Yeah, you're not scaring wildlife and children anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Well, rarely.
Yeah. Okay.
Less often.
Yeah. All right, Winston, why do we say it?
I was thinking of doing shrimp, but I think I'll save that one for later.
Well, that would work. I mean, he's kind of...
Shrimp.
All right.
Shrimp kebabs.
Do that one if you want.
Sure.
Is there a connection between shrimp as a nickname for a small person and the seafood?
I mean, in my head, there always has been.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing by the way you asked that.
Because shrimp are tinier than prawns, right?
Yeah. I'd say yes, but I'm betting it's not.
I'll go yeah, just to balance out the scale.
There is none. The shrimp that's applied to a small person comes from the Anglo-Saxon word meaning to shrink. It's used humorously to indicate the idea that the person is so small he must have shrunk to achieve that size.
So I wonder what happened to the poor shrimp out in the water.
Yeah,
he got picked on by everybody, huh?
Did the shrimp get its name because of that subsequently? When were shrimp named?
It's probably not from England. I don't think there's a lot of shrimp catching going on there. So how you been?
Been well. Yeah, it's, I spent time working at the county's operations center. So and then I had some vacation. So the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, last month or so, I've been back at our area office, kind of trying to get back into swing of things. We still don't have a lot of public events going on, so the public affairs stuff has been a little thin right now.
More road time?
I have had road time. Spent some time out on patrol, getting my feet wet, getting to know the community again since I was away for a little while.
Yeah, reconnecting. I would think that there could
reconnecting, that's one way to put it.
Yeah. I could think that there would be a tendency once you get a desk job, which I would suggest PIO is and doing the PR and all that stuff. You kind of lose touch with the day-to-day as you're focusing on the week, the event, getting ready for that kind of stuff instead of being out and doing what it is that got you involved being a cop.
That's very true. It's you have to be careful because the biggest concern would be officer safety. If you're off the road for a little while, going back out, all the activity, the normal routine stuff, it's just second nature and it's easy to do. The officer safety things are what are critical when you come out of a position like that or you've been away from the road for a while. So it's always good to do some refreshing, going over enforcement tactics and proper safety and placement, vehicle placement, things like that. It's always good to review that stuff before you go out as an officer and
just kind of go through the protocols in your head, kind of thing. I often will look at a pilot. You know, they could be on for 30 years and they still have their pre-call preparation.
Yes.
And they go through it all and that just is part of the job. And I would think whether you're seasoned or have yet to be marinated, you would want to go through just kind of the checkoffs. You know, walk around the car before you drive out. You know, one of the tires a little soft or is everything okay? Yeah, I mean, just those kinds of basic things, because once you guys are out on the road, it's game on, and it could be as you merge onto the first street exit, or it could be, you know, at the end of the shift. You still need
Very
to be
true.
Sure that everything is there.
I never really thought about it that way either. My dad been a helicopter pilot pretty much my entire life, and now that you say that, I can recall over all these years watching him every time it was like it was business. I've taken plenty of flights with him, and every time it would be these pre-flight checks that are just So checking all these minuscule things, because it could be one screw that could go wrong. When you're in the air, you can't pause, right?
Yeah, 10,000 feet.
Pause and
you
check it out.
Yeah.
Same thing with that. Once you go out on the road, you can't press pause on that stop and say, hold on, time out. I don't want to put myself in a dangerous spot. You have to be able to just react and react appropriately. And
well, then the instinctiveness, while I think it's probably very positive, then when you break that, your routine, and now you're relying on instinct instead of on process.
Right.
That vulnerability that you were talking about.
Well, it's important that our guys, too, that are on a special duty assignment, that we maintain our training this whole time. When I was assigned to Drug Task Force, the time I spent at the Operations Center, I was still going to trainings. I still had to keep up on all our monthly, quarterly, yearly trainings through the department. I go to the range at that time every month, every required training day for the range, and train. So you do maintain those skills and make sure that you can go out and do that properly. So,
yeah, you
and safely.
Don't want to be in a spot where you forget.
Yeah, definitely not.
Whoops. You step out on the wrong side of the car.
Well, it's not just you that you're worried about either, because you have to protect the public, their rights.
The individual, the folks driving by, anybody who might be in the neighborhood kind of thing.
And now more than ever, it's more important.
How has that changed, the interaction you guys and gals have? Do you stand back further? Or do you yell? Through the mask thing? There still is the passing over of the materials.
Yeah.
The driver's license and that kind of stuff.
There's still, we do have to take safety protocols, but at the same time, there's still a job that we have to do and that we're required to do, and it does require contact with the public. So, all the officers are, the vehicles are stocked with gloves, masks, hand sanitizer. When we make a contact with someone at their car, maintaining a distance from the window, we can still communicate pretty effectively. The officer, more often than not, will not have their mask on during that time because we need to communicate, but they have a mask available and use it intermittently throughout the stop when it's not a hindrance to the communication process.
I was saying, geez, everybody now can look like a cool motorcycle cop and have your leather gloves on.
Right.
And it looks like you're just one of the team. Instead of standing out. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the Arcata branch.
Yes.
Of the California Highway Patrol. So you seen the boss lately? She's still around?
Interesting news on that. It's funny you brought
Already?
That up because I was going to give you some information. Yeah, Captain, she's in between offices right now. She's in transition to Sacramento, Captain Barr.
She got sucked into the morass there in Sacramento?
She did. Going to our fleet operations area, so basically it would be a captain there where they put together all of our vehicles and equipment, testing equipment in the vehicles coming,
It'd be like the head mechanic.
Yeah, well, a little bit more than that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's going to have a lot on our hands, especially as we're trying to find, a long-term vehicle to use for the department as, once the Crown Vicks went away, there's been a little bit of transition trying to find what works. And she'll be part of that. September 1st, our new captain will be reporting in. And I'll
2 years, maybe?
Make sure, yeah.
Maybe? How long was Stacey?
We'll see. I got a chance.
18 months?
She made it longer than 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from like April to a couple extra months, sure.
Darn.
It's hard to see a captain leave and go, but, it was great while she was here, did some really good things. New captain's going to come in, and they're going to assess how things are going, and they're going to put their stamp on the place. And we do what we can as officers. You have no control over that anyway. It's I did have a chance to meet him. He was up here last week and seems like a really good guy.
Where's he from?
Right now he is a lieutenant at Information Management Division, I believe, our IMD section. So basically with the technology portion of our department in Sacramento. He's promoted up to come here.
Oh, so another Sacramento escapee. Well, at least that makes, at least there's logic there.
Almost everyone.
I'm a little concerned about going back to Sacramento, though.
He's. I look forward to bringing him in. I don't know everything about him. I've heard a few things. I had the chance to talk to him, and I'm excited to get him up here and see him get his feet wet and help show him around. We'll make sure that we bring him in here. I don't think he'll be here in time for next month's show. If he is, I'll let you know. But definitely by September, we'll be able to introduce him.
Younger guy, older guy?
I'm going to say he's younger because he's about my age.
Okay, okay. Well, you know, sometimes we get some of the fellows that and gals, they stay here and then they retire out.
Yeah, so he doesn't have the seniority that some of the other captains have had coming up here. I think he's a little bit further away. Obviously, I'll let him tell his story. And
so maybe he'll stick around a little bit longer, so to speak.
Fingers crossed.
If the mold gets him.
Yeah.
Then he'll stick.
Yeah. We'll see how he likes the area. You know, it's unique and it can affect people sometimes. And they're like, yeah. For others, they love it here. I know Stacy.
So which am I? Am I affected or do I love it?
So there's good days and bad days, right?
Okay, fair enough.
Right? If the sun would come out and start shining a little bit any day now, might make it a little better.
Yesterday was nice, at least on this side of the bay. I don't know. You must have been inside all the time.
Well, I was.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going with the situation or the potential relocation out to Jacobs Junior High? Is that on track? Is that on hold? What's going on there?
Yeah.
I forgot to ask Fred last
week. All I know is rumors because I'm not a part of the process, but my understanding right now at this point, and this is not an official word from the department, but you know, money is going to end up going different places. That's just how it is right now. The budget has changed.
I figured I might have put something on hold.
But I'm not the authority on it. It's something I could research and find out. But as I know it right now, nothing's been finalized. And I imagine it's going to be still a long-term process because current events have changed perspectives and needs for funds. And
with that, Paul, have you seen or has there been a shift to the metropolitan areas, to the areas where they're – either they weren't paying attention or they're having more of the outbreaks? Yeah, we talk with Billy. You know, he gives a perspective of our area and a lot of the other rurals that are dialed in. And, okay, we got some, but it's not over the top. And then you got the other areas that either weren't paying attention or ignoring and that is exploding there, but everybody's kind of painted with one brush.
Yeah.
My sense is the CHP is a one-brush kind of an operation, too. Are you having to do things that the guys down south are having to do also, but it makes sense down there but not up here?
In some ways, yes. But really when you look at it, all has to do with, you know, the department comes out with policies. This is what you're going to do during this time to maintain a safe vehicle, to maintain safety as an officer, and how you're going to clean, what you're going to wear, what you're going to do. Those things are across the board. The need for it has been slightly less here. Just talking to the other areas, the big thing is we are so isolated here anyway without traveling and going to these other areas. We really are kind of ignorant of really how things are going at other offices, aside from having a conversation with an officer that might be a friend of yours. We really don't know how things are. We don't see guys from Redding coming over like they used to. We're not going to training in Sacramento and being a part of that. So we're taking the same precautions, but it's because it's what the policy says to do. And we may not be seeing the effects or feel like it needs to be done here, but we're going to keep doing it that way. But I bet, you know, you go to the big city where they have a lot more contact with people. I imagine it helps to prevent illness and necessary. Yeah.
It's 8:30.
I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. Soon to have a new boss.
Yep.
Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Paul, with the opening of the In-N-Out Burger, I know that you guys and gals with the CHP, that the highways are your jurisdiction.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Broadway certainly is part of the highway. With the seeing pylons out and diverting traffic and all that kind of stuff, that's got to be a pretty rare event that happens. How do you guys go about that?
Yeah, you don't see it often, or I haven't seen it often in Eureka either, but it was necessary for this, and I believe it was obviously necessary once it all started happening. Those things, sometimes we are involved. Broadway is a part of Highway 101. Crashes, typically, we have an agreement with the city of Eureka. They do handle the crashes within the city limits on Broadway, 4th and 5th Street, which are all technically 101. That traffic control for that was a contract that was set up. I know that Caltrans and the city contracted, along with the with In-N-Out, they contracted with a company to provide that traffic control. It gets approved. They've put forth a plan showing how it's going to work and what they're going to do. And once that gets approved, they can come in and set it up so it doesn't have to be the Highway Patrol out there doing traffic control or Eureka City Police. It seemed like it worked pretty well. Essentially, what they did was shifted that left lane over into the center turn lane and the right lane into the left lane. So then you have that open lane they were able to use. You can divert traffic, get long lines going in. From what I saw and what I heard, it went pretty smooth, pretty quick. We did drive through there twice during the 2 weeks or so that traffic control was going on and spent a minimal amount of time in line going through traffic. I didn't, not aware of any collisions that happened within that area, although I believe Eureka Police Department would have been called to those anyway, but it'd be interesting to see if there was anything. I feel like it went pretty smooth and pretty well.
Yeah, it is abnormal, certainly, but it's something that I would suppose you guys are kind of, the system is used to, because if there's a crash or a fire,
yes,
it's kind of the same thing, maybe just not with a scheduled plan like this one was, but it's just more of a response plan.
Yeah, Caltrans could quickly set up if there was a, you know, busted pipe or some hazard
in the
road. A gas line,
for example.
Yeah, they are able to quickly respond, set up a cone pattern and a traffic pattern that is safe and allows for the smooth flow of traffic. It's been studied. You know, there's engineers that have these degrees and they're smart wizards that know how to set the lights to the right cycle and time all that stuff. And that's it does take quite a bit of, I'm sure, formulaic work on a sheet doing algebra. And I don't know what else goes at time travel that goes into figuring out how to make the lights work right. But
yeah, don't forget trig. And there's going to be some use for trig, right?
I don't know. Once I got past basic math, you start putting letters in with my numbers.
Algebra,
like, yeah. What are we doing here? Taking an English class? This is not.
Oh. So what is the protocol for the cones? I mean, is it based on the volume of traffic? I think like with a crash or some kind of an incident.
Right.
How far back do you go? How do you – I mean, we could say one of those trucks that were – tipping on the corner there of Broadway and
right.
Fifth for, I don't know, it seemed like it was a weekly event there for a little bit.
Right.
How do you respond? What is the drill on that? How do you know what to do?
So each scenario is actually going to be unique, because you're going to have, one, the availability of what you have in your car. Let's say I'm the one that shows up to the crash. I may have 4 or 5 cones in the back seat just for a quick throw out, because our cars are so compacted with so much equipment and stuff now, we literally have to just put cones in the back seat of the car. But that takes away from being able to transport passengers, somebody breaks down, getting someone safely to another location, or even arresting multiple people out of one incident, maybe. You have to kind of plan ahead. Do I want to take all this equipment? Our medical gear and bags are in the back of our car. So I may only have a few cones. I may have just a box or two of flares in the back, and it may not be conducive to using flares. So what equipment do I have with me? That presents limitations. The roadway location. So if an example of the truck's tipping over, they're turning from Broadway to Fifth Street. You have line of sight. How far back do you need to go? Are we diverting traffic onto a side street? Do we need to set up a cone pattern that pushes traffic just over a lane, or are we stopping traffic? There's a lot of considerations into each incident that make you kind of figure out how far back you want to go. Plus, in the city, you have slower speeds. I may not need to put a cone pattern so far back. But if I'm on the freeway and I've got traffic coming from around a corner, I may need to go back around the corner and continue a flare pattern back for a half mile sometimes. I may need to start putting out a warning even further than that. And in those incidents where it's a bigger location or a bigger scene, I may be asking for help from another officer, and most likely we're calling Caltrans to come out and assist with traffic control. We see that more with crashes maybe on 36. So we're way out away from somewhere. There's all these corners and curves. It's going to be an extended closure because they got time. It's going to take us an hour for the tow truck to get out there and another hour for them to try and get it up off the side of the road or down from the river back up to the road.
So it's really a prolonged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have to evaluate when we get on scene, use what we have. Also, if I'm the only officer on scene, I may not want to spend too much time setting up stuff behind me because I may be needed to provide medical care or investigate the scene at that point. So I may not have the time to really do a big, long closure, but
You're on your own, then you got both directions you have to kind of give a little notice on, too.
Yeah, very well could be, yeah. One-way streets are better for traffic control, a lot easier.
Well, remember that next time we're considering getting in one of those crashes. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. Paul, the work that's going on out on the highway, I think the official term is safety corridor, but on the highway between Eureka and Arcata, we got the goofy little construction fences that are up, those orange things, and stakes all over the place, and some widening going on, I guess, on a couple of the, do you call them bridges? I guess they would be a bridge, even if it's small.
Yeah.
Is that all widening? Is that in preparation for the overpass? Is that something else that's going? What is that?
Obviously, I can't speak for Caltrans, but I do have some knowledge because we get the some of the contract work for the safety part.
Well,
they tell
you what's going on anyway because you guys are working it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's three different projects going on. One of them in particular is the one at the Eureka Slough that's going on. So that has to do with some drainage and bridge work that's going on right there. And these have all been going on overnight during the nighttime hours.
Right.
The Eureka Slough one, I'm not sure how long it's going to be going, but at least for the next week or at least through the end of next week and possibly longer. So that one is what's going on there. So the stuff actually in the corridor, a lot of that has to do with the upcoming work for that transition that's going to be going in at Indianola, but there's some other work going on. So the primary section right now is Jacoby Creek. And so speaking on that, this weekend actually is going to be a continuous 24-hour closure beginning Friday night at about, I believe, somewhere between 8 and 10 o'clock is when they're going to start with the lane closure on the northbound side.
Just one
lane coming northbound, but it's going to be a continuous closure with a lot of work going on. It's going to continue through the day Saturday, overnight Saturday, and through the day Sunday. They're going to be putting the actual bridge in because they're they're putting a bridge in that section right there at Jacoby Creek, and they're going to be pulling up some of the K-rail and the fencing and stuff out there, and just going to ask the public to use extra caution. Again, it's going on at night, so if you're traveling through there at night, keep in mind there's going to be a lot of lights, a lot of vehicles and work going on.
Not daytime on the weekend?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you for pointing that out. I just said that. Yeah, it's going to be 24 hours. So
right. Numbers and letters kind of do throw
you. I know,
you
right? It took me like 5 seconds to forget that. Yeah, right? That's my life right now. I knock on the head. It's the brain trauma as a kid. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll blame it on that. So, yes, it's going to be going 24 hours this weekend. So if you're going to be traveling through that area, keep that in mind. Maybe use an alternate route or a more scenic route around 255.
Just go slow, right?
Well, and so then that's the follow-up. So when they first started all this work, we had 5 crashes within several days there in the corridor. One of them was after they even moved it to the nighttime. So we had 4 during the day. Luckily, nothing serious. But that's why they moved the work to nighttime hours, because it was less traffic. Still
Could
had
you get
one
a, like a
crash.
Dummy car out there somewhere? Just parked on the side with the lights going?
That's possible.
It always slows people
like
up.
That. Yeah. Right now we've been able to man cars, and we have a couple of cars working at night. So outside of our normal patrol, we have overtime for officers working the area.
Well, I know EPD's out there too, so yeah, a couple more black and whites, and all of a sudden everybody's going 40.
Drive safe.
All right. Have a safe weekend, bud. See everybody tomorrow.